My name is Kevin MacArthur, and I'm a recovered drug addict. And when I say a drug addict, I mean I was a drug addict. From the time I was, as my wife had said, 11 years old, I was 12, so I was a late starter. But from the time I was 12 until the time I was 40, I used drugs and alcohol to cope. I used drugs and alcohol to manage my life, to manage my emotion, to let me know what direction I should do, let me know what my next decision was. Everything was based around drugs and alcohol. Every single aspect of my life, even when I was sleeping, the only reason I got to sleep was because I had changed drugs and I took some sleeping drugs instead of some wake-up drugs. You know, that's what my life was about. But today I stand here transformed by the power of Christ, not by no work of myself. So I want to make a couple of clarifying statements here before we go any further. I consider myself a disciple, but somewhat like the disciple Paul. Right? I consider myself to be like him. And this is a trustworthy saying out of Timothy. It says, Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. So before we go any further, I just want to clarify everything, is that I am a sinner. And I still continue to sin. Right? I do my best to follow the word, but I am miserably falling short all the time. So now that we got that clear, everything that I'm going to tell you today is about Jesus and is about what Jesus has done and is about what Jesus can do. It's not about what I've done or what I can do. But I want to tell you that we're called to do something. These men and women that have come and spoken and the people that you've heard, Rob has come up and he's given you some statistics about what Hope for Freedom has done and what Hope for Freedom has accomplished. I want to verify that the base foundation of that is Jesus Christ is accomplishing this work through the society. And it's an amazing work. It's a work that never ever falls short. It's a work that, like my wife said, is never ever boring. If you guys are bored, come and hang out at House One for a day. You won't be bored when you leave there. It's like a circus. There's so many things that happen in there. It's fun. It's painful. It's energizing. It's draining. But it's Christ's work, right? It's the gospel at work. It's where the light and the darkness collide. It's not where we come in for a feel-good message. It's where we come in to recognize we need a Savior. Like my wife said, I need a Savior. Without the recognition that I need a Savior, the gospel has no power in my life. If I don't think I need it, it has no power. If I haven't been convicted in my heart, it has no power. But I'm convicted. So I saw a lot of people put their hands up and say that they consider themselves disciples. Let's see those hands again. Good? That's great. To be a disciple, you need a few things. I'm just going to go very briefly through Matthew here today. But to be a disciple, you need a few things. First, you need a target audience. Second, you need a message. Third, you need an example. And four, you need to have a witness. Your life needs to be a witness. Today we're going to look, like I said, very briefly at Matthew. So if we can open up our Bibles to Matthew 4. We're going to start in 4 and we're going to end all the way in 10. So, and I'm going to do that in about 15 minutes. Can I get an amen? That's good. That's good because I'm going to need one. Okay, so let's start off in Matthew 4. Starting in verse 16. You know, every time I go to speak, I get about 3 or 4 things planned and it all changes at the last minute. You know, and it's good because my plans never panned out well for me. So I just trust the Lord that he gives me what I need here today. Let's read together. Matthew 4:16 and 17 says, "The people living in darkness have seen a great light on those living in the land of the shadow of death. And this light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near.'" Up until this time, this is the very beginning of Christ's ministry. And up until this time, we've heard not too much about his life, not too much about who he is. We've saw his birth, we've saw these things, but we haven't heard what he's got to say to us. We've seen what he's grown into, and he's grown into a man, and he's grown into a witness for God. Now, I want to go back to what you need as a disciple, because if you are a disciple, this chapter, these couple of scriptures here identify your target audience. And your target audience is those living in the shadow, in the land of the shadow of death. That's your target audience. That's who you're going to disciple to. That's who you're going to look for. And you've also been given the message. Did anybody hear the message in there? You can just yell it out if you heard it. Repent is the message. Repent. You have an audience, people living in the shadow, in the land of the shadow of death, and you have a message. Repent. And you have Christ the Savior delivering that. You have Christ the Savior going, You people who are living in the land of the shadow of death, repent. That's it. Now we have to go on, because that's not quite enough to really be effective in the gospel, because I'm not Christ. So if I just stand here and tell you people that you're living in the shadow of the land of death and repent, you're all going to go, this guy's crazy, and walk away from me. So we need an example, right? We need an example of what repentance means, because repentance in its definition means to turn from something, the exact opposite, to turn to something else. Now, if I'm a sinner, and I'm sinful by nature, and every part of me is broken, and my whole life experience, I'm going to talk personally, from the time I was 12 and I was able to make decisions, my whole life experience has been sinful. And I want to be a disciple, because Christ has radically transformed my life. I need an example, right? I need an example. Now, the next several chapters of Matthew are our example. Before we look very briefly at that example, I want to talk about Hope for Freedom Society. Because they were my example before I knew what to do, before I knew who Christ was. Even like my wife said, before I knew what a proverb was or the Bible was or any of these things. You see, I'd always believed in God. I just never, ever served Him. I knew what it was like to serve the darkness, right? In my life, my house, I had flames painted up my walls. In my master bedroom, I had a picture of a demon painted on my walls, a big mural on one whole wall. So I knew what it was to serve the darkness, but I didn't have an example of light. I'd never experienced that. I'd never experienced light in my life. Every day, in the two-car garages in the living rooms of these houses at Hope for Freedom Society, the example of light is given. The gospel is preached. And like I said before, that's where the darkness and the light collide. And there is sparks. It's a violent clash. It's not a peaceful, easy feeling that happens. I can tell you that for a fact, because when Pastor Paul DeWitt led me to the Lord, the thoughts in the back of my mind were, you should pick up a stick and hit this man before he keeps talking. We laugh, right? But that is the light and the darkness colliding right here. That's my soul. That's the chains that we see in this logo being broken as a hand reaches into the land of the shadow of death and says, repent. Paul didn't promise me love. He promised me freedom. But I needed to repent. And I needed to accept Jesus. And in accepting Jesus, I needed to look to Him for my example. I needed to trust Him with my life. I didn't know I would serve Him with my life, to the best of my ability. Clarifying statement. My life was exactly what verse 16 describes. I was in the land of the shadow of death, and I had created that. I'd willingly served another master. This is an amazing testimony to the power of the gospel, amen? But every one of us has a testimony. I'm not special. I'm not different than anyone sitting in any chair in here that has said, I am a disciple of Christ. Because you have a testimony. You've been freed from something somewhere. So let's remove the talk about addiction and alcohol and just talk about separation. Because when you're separated and you're brought back, now you have a testimony. Because someone else has been separated from God in the same way that you have, in the exact same circumstance. They have. The first thing that Jesus does as soon as He starts preaching is He says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And then He goes and He calls 12 good men. I thought that was amazing that Paul said that. Because as soon as we go past verse 16 and 17 here, Jesus calls His disciples. He says, come and follow me. Now I've thought about that this morning. I'm going, why would He say, come and follow me? The next several chapters, till we get to chapter 9, these men that are following Jesus are being given an example. They're being given instruction. They're learning how to serve. They're learning how to pray. They're learning how to get outside of themselves and look to somebody else as an example. So when Jesus comes into your life and He says, do you come into my life? And you say, yes, I want you to come into my life. I accept that you're the Son of God and I want the forgiveness that you're offering me. And when He steps into your life and He calls you, you can look at these next several chapters of Matthew is your example. Now you've got a target audience. Now you've got a message, repent. And now you've got an example of how to become a testimony. With the example that we see here, we see Jesus healing the sick. We're corrected and we're taught in the Beatitudes. See, my life, my experience, everything that I thought I knew and what I thought was right and what I really stood on as right was wrong, right? Jesus corrects all that. We're told even to love our enemies. Now that is a correction that I'm still working on. I don't love my enemies. I try to love everybody. I try to be true to what Jesus asked me to do, but I fall miserably short. But I continue to look to him as an example. We're told to give to the needy, and we're told to store up our treasures in heaven. That's the biggest one that we fall short on, because I want to keep my treasure in my pocket. I want to keep my treasure close to me. That way I can decide what to do with it. But that's not what we're told to do. And we're told not to worry, because God in heaven will provide for us. We're told to trust him. And we're told only to listen to the voice of God and build our foundation wisely. So when we're listening to the voice of God and we're looking at Jesus as our example and we're looking through verses or chapters 5 through 10, there's a perfect example of how to live in there. Now, he doesn't say, live like this and you'll go to heaven, right? Jesus says, this is the perfect example. And I'm going to tell you. Jesus is going to tell you. Now, remember, we're talking about the 12. These men have been witnesses up until this point. They've been watching all of this happen. They haven't been actively involved in the miracles. They haven't been actively involved in the teaching. They've been actively witnessing what Christ's example is. See, they've only been called up until this point. But now when we move forward, I want us all to turn in our Bibles to Matthew 9:35. And I'm going to read from Matthew 9:35 to 10:1, because there is something that happens here between 4 and 10. And I want us to be involved as disciples in this. See, because working at Hope for Freedom Society, like Mark said, you get to witness this every day. You get to see this transformation every day. It's difficult, hard work, but you get rewards. Matthew 9:35 starts out, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask of the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. You see, right there is the sending. There's a change from watching and observing and seeing what a witness is to now Jesus says, okay, now go do it. Now, I don't know how long is between chapter 4 and chapter 10 as far as lineal time is. But if we want to base how long on what Jesus says is the perfect example, for me it's a lifetime. And then it still falls short. But Jesus didn't send out perfection, right? Jesus sent out 12 men. And they could have been men or women. Because if you raised your hand as a disciple, you're included in that. If you know Jesus and you believe the gospel of Christ, you've been called. This is a turning point in the book of Matthew. Jesus had been traveling through Galilee proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. He'd been confirming it with signs and wonders, miracles, people raising from the dead, leprosy being healed, the deaf could hear and the blind could see. Sparks were flying. He was creating quite a scene. He had quite a following, right? The light and the darkness were colliding, and he was doing it all, and he was witnessing to his disciples. This is what I want you to do. Now, the first list that I gave you, I even have to go back and read it because I can't remember it. And you know, lists are great if you can remember them. But the first list that I gave you, if you truly want to be a disciple, you need a target audience. You need a message, you need an example, and you need a witness. Now, we've talked about the target audience, that people in the darkness. We've talked about the message, repent for the kingdom of heaven is near. Jesus can save you. We have the example from 4 through 9. And if we've truly believed what the gospel says, then we have the testimony. Because if you've accepted Jesus into your life, and he is truly your Savior, you have the proof because you have a changed life. The proof of Jesus is a changed life. The witness you saw today are changed lives. On this worship platform, when we were praising the Lord, not everybody came from a place of addiction. However, if the whole worship team went out to have coffee, and we were sitting down all together in a circle, and you walked into that coffee shop and you didn't know who was who, I don't think you could pick out the alcoholics. I don't think you could pick out the people who'd been raised in the church. Do you want to know why? Because the proof of Christ is a changed life. Amen? Now I want to get back to the list because 4 is too many for us. I can't remember 4. Target audience, a message, an example, and a witness. I want to shorten that down for you. I want to shorten it to 2 simple things that you can take from here today. 2 very simple things that you can take. First, we've been given something to believe. I want you to believe that people are ready to hear the message of repentance. It doesn't need to be candy-coated. It doesn't need to be sweet. People need to know that they need to repent. People need to know that they need a Savior. Without the knowledge that they need a Savior, they're lost. Are you ready to tell that message? Are you ready to say that message? I am. I'm ready to say that message. You know why? Because Christ has authority over the darkness. The darkness had authority over my life, but Christ now has authority over the darkness that once was my life. And my life, because of the blood of Jesus, is radically transformed. My life, because of the blood of Jesus, is a changed life. My life, because of the power of a testimony of a few good Christian men who work at Hope for Freedom Society, is a changed life. I didn't say my life was easy. My life is full of all kinds of struggles. I just deal with them differently, for the most part. I don't do what I would have done before. I don't live how I would have lived before. Because if the proof of the Holy Spirit in my life, and I have conviction, repent, don't do that. That's not very productive, is what I hear often in my mind and in my heart, right? And then I have to look at the example of Christ to see, okay, well, what do I do then? How do I live then? Who can help me then? Jesus says, I can help you. I'm right here, speaking to you daily in your heart. Be still and listen, and you will know I'm God. Amen? The second thing I want to give you, the first thing is we've got something to believe. The second thing is we've got something to do. I didn't get rescued from the mire. I didn't get pulled from the pit to sit around and feel comfortable and be good. Because I'm not good. I'm uncomfortable. Everything that I do as a Christian is awkward, and I go through it like a four-year-old trying to play a very, very intense game of chess. Right? I can't do it. Everything about my Christian life is awkward. But I'm still called to do something. I'm supposed to pray. That's what I'm supposed to do. See, I get caught up in task before I got caught up in preparation. Right? Just get out there and get doing it. Bull in a china shop. But that's not what it says. It said, then he said this to his disciples. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest. He didn't say go out and start harvesting. He said, ask the Lord of the harvest. Amen? Where does God want you? Have you asked him? Does God want you to go hang out at a coffee shop with a drug addict because they really need a friend? If you're a lady, does God want you to go sit in a Monday morning Bible study with Alex and Gladys, Ray? Or maybe he wants you somewhere else. I'm not here trying to say that that's the only place that God wants everybody, because Hope and Freedom, frankly, isn't that big enough. But the harvest is. The harvest is big enough. And the hearts are prepared. And they don't need to hear anything, but you need a Savior. They need to hear the message of repentance. It's necessary. For the gospel to be heard, the conviction of sin must be present. He calls us to pray. I want to read a quote. It says, when we pray as he commanded, we will see what he saw, feel what he felt, and will do what he did. And when we start to believe that the harvest is plentiful, and we pray that Christ would send out workers, you'll never know if you might become one of those workers. You've been commissioned. You've been called. You've been set free. And every time you get in the Word, you're being prepared. Today I want to send everybody out. Today I want to say that the harvest is plentiful. And you know what? It's ripe. You heard the testimonies today. You heard Mark. You heard Trevor singing. You heard my wife speak. You heard Pastor Paul talking about what he's seen. You've heard Rob Thiessen give you some numbers. That's just from last year, by the way. That's just a snapshot in the 17-year history of Hope for Freedom Society. It's just a snapshot. A very brief one. Now, I tried to get the videos. I wanted a video playing in the background. That we had baptisms at the river this summer. And I wanted to have the video playing in the background, because that's powerful when you can see it. When you see what's going on. But I'm not that technologically advanced. So you didn't get that. But I want to tell you that it happens. I'm a witness to that. I'm proof of that. Because 3.5 years ago, I was a drug addict. 3.5 years ago, I didn't know a word out of the Bible. 3.5 years ago, I would sooner have died than opened my eyes in the morning to face what pathetic life I had created. Today when I get up, sometimes it's difficult. You know, there's a past back there that, you know, wasn't freed when I was set free. The past is still there. The pain is still there. My wreckage is still there. But I don't feel the same about it. You see, because that's the mess that I made. Jesus can free me from some of that. But the promise isn't for today. The promise is for my eternity. right? The promises for my eternal's perspective. That's what I look at. That's what gives me hope. That's the anchor that keeps my soul secure in Christ. So I just want you to know that you have a message. You have a witness. You have a testimony. And you've been sent first and foremost to prayer. So let's pray. Dear Lord, I just thank you that you've given us an example. God, that you stepped down from the heavens and you became fully flesh. Lord Jesus, that you showed us a different way. Lord, that you showed us that we need you. Lord, you showed us that you are perfect. Lord, and that you convicted us that our sin is not. But you love us and reject the sin. And you made a way for that to happen, Lord. So as we go about our week, Lord Jesus, just give us a heart that hears your words. Let us seek you in prayer, Lord. Let us meet the conversations that we're supposed to meet, and let us be powerful witnesses of a transformed life. Lord, may we speak with authority like the 12 that you sent out in verse 10:1. Lord, may we cast the darkness aside in your name. Lord, and if we don't have a witness, may we pray for one. If we don't have a witness, may we just look for ministries like Hope for Freedom Society that give us an example of the power of the gospel at work in real time. Lord, may angels protect us, and may our hearts serve you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.